Hey friends, welcome back to the Gubba Podcast. Today I'm going to be talking about gardening and seed starting. Summertime gardening is right around the corner, and now is the perfect time to prepare for your summer garden. Even if you don't have a yard or an established garden, I have tips for you in this podcast. When you begin diving into gardening, it seems overwhelming. For me, it did, at least with learning about soil nutrients and how different plants use different nutrients and how to balance all that, when to plant, how to plant, watering systems, etc. And I've come to discover that not getting overwhelmed with the nitty-gritty and just doing it, you learn so much and gain experience that you wouldn't have otherwise. So in this podcast, I just want to be talking about some of the basics and really help you get your foot in the ground and help you get going. And you can find other gardening resources on my website, gubbahomestead.com, for more information. I have an outline of how to build a raised planter. I have a seed starting chart and some other great resources for you. So, one of the first things to do when you are beginning gardening or have moved somewhere new is to evaluate how the sun falls on your property or in whatever area you have. I have recently moved from the city to a little homestead, and the first step I took to preparing my future garden was walking around my gardening space and evaluating the sunlight and exposure. So the sunlight that was falling on the ground, I would take note where it was. I noted where the shadows fell from the trees and speculated where the shadows would be with different sun locations. So sunlight is so important to your garden. Your tomatoes will need 8+ hours of sunlight a day. So you don't want to be planting sun-loving plants where they will experience shade during the day. You need to understand the different sun requirements of the plants you intend to sow and then plan accordingly. I would suggest mapping out your garden. Include the trees, fences, houses, walls, and any buildings that could obstruct the sunlight from reaching your garden. Take into account that the sun is higher in the sky during summer and it dips lower in the winter. So at summer equinox, it is at the highest point in the sky. Then it will fall until the winter equinox, which is when it's at its lowest point in the sky. So the shadows cast by different structures can vary depending on the angle of the sun. In my situation, I have a few trees that I have to consider when planting. They are of considerable size, so the shadows cast can engulf my garden. And obviously, whoever set up the garden area originally didn't plan out the sunshine, or maybe the trees were small when they were planning out the garden area. I don't know, but that's okay. This will be my first garden year in the new house, so I'll be able to fully analyze this situation. You don't want to spend time cultivating and sowing plants just to have them be engulfed in shade. That would be so sad. That would be a gardening tragedy. So after considering the sunlight in your garden, consider your space. What will you be growing? And where will you be growing it? Include your crops in your map that you made of the sun and how it falls. For example, tomatoes need full sun, so map them in an area that will receive full sun according to your sunlight analysis. And when I say map out, like literally be drawing pictures of your garden, where the sun is falling, and your different plots for your plants. Write out what plants will go where. And keep in mind the varieties of plants you are dealing with. For example, will you have bush beans or trellis beans? If you are using a trellis for your bean variety, you will have to take into account the shadow cast from the trellis. Maybe there will be a shadow cast during different points of the day, so maybe you'd want to put the trellis at the north end of your garden, so then there's not going to be much of a shadow cast from that if it's running east to west and north facing. And all this seems kind of painfully meticulous, but once you start writing out your plans and ideas, it comes together, especially making that beautiful picture, drawing out that beautiful picture of your garden. It's really fun. And you may be wondering how this works if you live in an apartment or you don't have an outdoor garden area. Well, if you have a small area to work with, and maybe it's just an apartment patio that maybe doesn't get the best sunlight, get crafty and move your plants around your place to where the sun hits at different times during the day. Your gardening area could truly be your apartment or condo or wherever you live. There are tactics like vertical gardening, where you can purchase a large planter that tapers upwards, so it doesn't take up a lot of space, but you can have a large amount of surface to garden with. They're pretty neat. Would highly suggest looking into those if you don't have a large area to garden with, a big space. These vertical growers are so cool because you can do so much. I've seen people do strawberries and they just have this whole vertical grower of just strawberries. And these wouldn't be the easiest to move, but would suffice for a small area that receives a good amount of sun. You can also get potted plants like tomatoes or peppers that are in bags, like bagged pots that don't take up space and you can easily move around. And herbs are easy to grow from a kitchen windowsill or any sun-receiving windowsill in your apartment or home. And at the end of the day, don't let the amount of space you have dictate what you want to grow. Another suggestion I have is to look into community garden plots. I have a few friends who have a space in a community garden, and they were able to grow some beautiful fresh food for themselves. I even got to have some of their extra produce, and it was amazing. So research your city and where you live and see what they offer for community gardens. So they're just plots of land where people can go, they get a little space, and then they can do whatever they want with the space. Some community gardens offer produce in exchange for volunteering, so you could volunteer to help maintain the garden. You can grow your own crops and receive abundance on top. What a wonderful way to expand the summer harvest. You can grow with your community, get to know others. And if you have friends or family that have a garden, you could even ask to utilize some of their gardening space. You could use your bartering skills and suggest a trade of some sort. Maybe you make an amazing sourdough bread. You could trade bread for gardening space. You just gotta get crafty. And next, after you have made a map of your garden for the sun and what you will be planting, figure out what gardening zone you are in. So you can just search up your zip code, city, and state with the words gardening zone, and it should pop up. And once you know your zone, look up your zone's planting schedule. This will give you a tentative outline of when you should be starting your seeds and when the last average frost date and the first average frost date is, so you can plant outdoors and plan accordingly. I would highly suggest calling your local nursery to ask what the last average frost date is in your area, because that way you can get the most accurate information. Another thing to keep in mind is microclimates, though. So, for example, I'm in zone 6B, and so are the people that live 5 to 10 miles away. But sometimes they'll have snow, and I don't, and we just experience different weather, even though they're so close and we're in the same zone. And my last frost date may differ slightly from theirs, even though we're in the same zone. It's kind of crazy. So that's a microclimate. And the best way to figure out the most accurate frost dates for you, where you live, your little piece of property, your apartment, wherever, is to keep a weather log. So jot down the temperature highs and lows for each day and the weather conditions. And after a year or so, you can see patterns for your microclimate. So for exactly where you live. The internet and your local nursery can give you a good start, though. By knowing your zone, you can have a good idea of how much time you have in your gardening season, which is so important because this will affect what varieties of seeds you buy. If you live in a cold climate and have a short season, you will have to take into account how long it takes to cultivate and grow some plants and get crafty. Local gardeners are truly going to be your best resource. They've been there, they've done that, they know the nitty-gritty, so try and find your local gardeners, whether that's online, if there's a Facebook group, if there's online forums, or maybe there's a local gardening group where you can just get together and get to know your local gardeners. Next, decide if you want to start your garden from seed or buy starters from the nursery. I personally have done both. You will save money overall by starting from seed, but you save time by purchasing a starter. So there's kind of a trade-off. A starter has already been cultivated by someone, whether that's a nursery or someone at a farmer's market. They have already grown the plant from seed, and all you have to do is transplant it or leave it in its grow bag and care for it. If you start from seed, you will need to know your last average frost date. For example, if your last frost date is May 31st, the end of May, and you want to start tomatoes from seed, you will have to start the tomatoes about 8 weeks before the last frost date. So around the beginning of March, you will want to start your seeds. The 8 weeks is the amount of time that it will take to grow the tomatoes so they are able to transplant outside. So it is so important to know your gardening zone, your microclimate, what you're going to be planting, and whether or not you want to start from seed. And if so, get on schedule to do so. Another benefit of starting seeds indoors is that you can cultivate a variety of seeds. With purchasing a start from a nursery or farmer's market, you are then limited to the varieties that they have. There are so many varieties of garden plants that it is unbelievable. You get like a gardening seed magazine in the mail or wherever, and you will quickly see there are so many varieties. And you want a variety that will do well in your climate, but maybe you will want to experiment and have some fun in your garden and try some wild variety that isn't offered at your local nursery. So starting seeds allows you to do this. If you start your plants from seeds, though, you need to harden off your plants. This step cannot be skipped, and you risk killing your plants if you don't harden off your plants. Hardening off is when you slowly introduce your seedlings to the outdoor weather conditions. Your seedlings have been used to the controlled environment that you have made inside, and are not used to the blazing sun, wind, and temperature variations. So you need to introduce them slowly to the outside. If you just throw your plants into the ground without slowly introducing them to the outside conditions, they could and most likely and probably will go into shock and die. So all that time and effort that you've spent making these beautiful seedlings would be all for nothing. So don't do that. Harden off your plants. And how do you harden off your plants? So a few weeks before you transplant your seedlings into the ground, start by placing them outside for small amounts of time and work up to longer periods of time. So for the first few days of introducing them outside, place them in the shade because direct sunlight will be too intense for them. So completely avoid direct sunlight for the first few days by placing them in the shade for 2 to 3 hours at a time, then bring them back inside. After these initial days in the shade, getting acclimated to the weather and the indirect sunlight and its surroundings, begin to gradually increase the amount of sunshine by placing the plants in the sun for 30 minutes minutes at a time, then slowly working up the sun exposure period each day. So the next day, increase the sun exposure by 20 minutes and so on. If the leaves begin to wilt in the sun, place the plants back in the shade for a bit to recuperate, and make sure you're placing the plants out during warmer temperatures as well. After 2 to 3 weeks of building up sun tolerance, they can go outside permanently and you can transplant your plants safely. No dead plants, no shocked plants, and we should be good to go. Another important thing to consider when you are setting up your garden is water. Water is so important, just like the sun when it comes to gardening. Make sure you have figured out your water source for your garden before you start sowing your garden. You don't want to map out an elaborate garden plan, take action to making it a reality, then realize you don't have the water source to allow it to thrive. For me, I have hose bibs near my garden and I plan to use timed watering, so like a timed watering system. Watering your garden can become a chore and you will have to secure someone to tend to it if you go on vacation. So look into different avenues that will suit your needs. Drip irrigation is pretty cool. And to keep things simple, you can even use old plastic milk jugs, the big gallon milk jugs. You can punch a few holes in it with a pin, so small holes, then bury the jug around the plants, fill it with water, and then the water will slowly seep out of the jug at root levels around your plants. And it's kind of like a timed watering drip irrigation system, but it's cheap, it's effective. And I used it with my tomatoes that I did last year and it worked and saved me time and hassle and was relatively simple to use and to make. I mean, I was just repurposing old milk jugs. So these are all of my beginning gardening tips for you to get thinking about if you're starting gardening wherever you are. I believe you can garden from wherever you are. You can homestead from wherever you are. And don't let space dictate what you can do. Find your local resources. Experiment and see what works for you. Learn and grow along with your plants. And I just have to say thank you so much for listening today. I appreciate it. And I hope that you have the most wonderful day. And don't do anything a Gubba wouldn't do. Bye.